opportunity, if we're going to do this work, and then use the opportunity to advance the seismic improvements to the building of potentially another $25 million.
So let me just air that out for a second, because I guess there's it suggests two potential complications with what is an excellent plan you've developed. In fact, we've been pushing for a couple of years to get this plan. So first, I want to compliment you on a very thorough and thoughtful job. But it raises in my mind two questions. One is, if we're doing a renovation of that magnitude, it potentially could be very disruptive to the workforce. And is this the appropriate time to be thinking about moving more people into the building when we're doing both seismic and structural? Second, how do we pay for it? And I hope the answer isn't we put a surcharge on the people in that building, in which case we lose the benefit of the cost savings that we're thinking about. So could you address both?
So, Commissioner Fish, at this time, we have not finalized the information around the renovation of the Portland building. It will be coming back before council probably in the next couple of months. So at this time, I think it would be preliminary for me to provide findings in terms of how we would finance and how much we would finance in terms of both the envelope and the seismic renovation.
And does the prospect of a $50 million project and the potential disruption to the workforce change your view at all about the sequencing of this project, of what we're talking about in terms of bringing all of the city offices under city-owned roof?
If I just draw on experience, Commissioner Fish, the expectation that council will move forward with a $50 million renovation of this building, one, in terms of the seismic retrofit, as Bob shared with you, right now the building is seismically safe from the standpoint in terms of people exiting the building in the event of an earthquake. The $25 million would reinforce what we currently have, but it would not guarantee that in the event of an earthquake that the building is still going to be usable. It will increase the likelihood that the building is usable, but it does not guarantee. So that's a question that we're going to put before council in terms of if it wants to reinvest or invest that $25 million. Secondly, then the $25 million on the envelope of the city of the Portland building, if I were to, again, draw on history, we have not done that all at once. So I believe that the proposal we have in place could coincide and can be done concurrently as we move forward with any improvements to the Portland building.
So I guess the other element of this that lets us step into this is that the number of leases or the amount of square footage involved in what changes in the near term this summer is pretty modest.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to put this on the table because I feel a little schizophrenic on this. On the one hand, we've been pressing for the last couple of years through work sessions and through dialogue with OMF to come up with a comprehensive way of filling vacant space and curbing an informal practice of having people enter into more expensive leases in non-city-owned property. So I applaud what you've done. And the model that you've come up with in terms of how you would allocate the space and stack it seems very, very thoughtful. So that's the plus side. The elephant in the room for me, though, is what's the cost benefit of spending all this money to rehabilitate the Portland building? I mean, we have a building which has been a troubled building, and I don't know at what point does a $50 million investment exceed the return that you're getting from the building. I'm not competent to make that judgment, but I'm prepared to accept. I think we're being asked today to reaffirm our interest, and I'm prepared today to reaffirm the interest which this council strongly asserted in the last couple of years to this exercise. But I'm concerned that without resolving the question about the Portland building's future and the cost, we may be putting the cart before the horse a little bit. And to your point, Mayor, there isn't a lot that's planned in the short term. so we can potentially move forward. But I just simply don't know whether it's prudent to spend $50 million to save this building or whether there are other options we should be thinking about.
And as you know, we are by no means making that decision today. I mean, this is a decision to focus our leased space in our own facilities. To answer the question that you asked, which is that we intend to keep the 1900 building in our inventory as a place where our employees are housed and do their work, that we're going to be committing to some repair scheme for the Portland building at some point, but details to be determined, level of repair, amount of cost, but this basic idea, we're going to use the space we have efficiently, we're going to systematically start moving people from leased facilities into our own. That's the heart of the matter, and we're not committing to any particular scheme with respect to the seismic improvements or even the repairs that are needed to the Portland.
Yeah, and that's why I feel schizophrenic, because I want to celebrate today the fact that we've called the question on the 1900 building, which from time to time there was a question about whether we were going to lose that building. That I celebrate the fact that such a thoughtful and comprehensive look has been done about space and how we allocate it. I love the proposal for how you've solved the nut here in this building. I was afraid, looking at the slide, you were going to suggest that we just take the commissioner's offices and remove them and find more space. I'm delighted that we got a reprieve from this mayor. There's something about that next piece about the Portland building, which I just don't know enough. And $50 million sounds like an awful lot of money to fix a problem. I'm assuming we're well beyond the point where we can get an insurance claim. So I just have a concern about that and what that means to the success of this plan. So I'm just putting that marker down.
I'd like to echo that concern. When I heard those numbers, you just said 25 and 25 million. I mean, it seems to me we could, I mean, that easily exceeds what I would guess the price for a brand new building.
Commissioner Saltzman, so as part of the kind of ongoing exercise in terms of, as Commissioner Fish was sharing with you, in terms of some of the history of looking at some of our space planning over the last 6-7 months, we did look at what it would cost to build a brand new building. Mm-hmm. And the per square foot cost, given the values and the priorities that the city has, would be north of $300 a square foot. So we could not.
What does that mean, the values and the priorities the city has?
Well, we
how does that differ from, say, maybe the rebuilding of the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt building?
Well, one is we would build it to LEED certification. There's sustainability options that the building would have to have. So when we looked at that, and let's just take the Portland building, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300,000 square feet, to replicate that building at $300 just in construction costs would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $90 million to $100 million.
Really?
And that wouldn't include taking folks out of the building and bringing them back, you know, and moving them to another building. So we've taken a look at that, and Commissioner Saltzman, the other thing we did, we were told that this was the market to buy a brand new building if we were going to buy one. So we researched that as an alternative. And what we found is that we could purchase a building similar in terms of square footage, but it would be the same vintage or the same era or the same time that our building was built. And so you're going to run right back into the seismic issue in terms of what we're facing with the Portland building. And you also don't know in terms of what are some of the other conditions of those buildings. So we did explore those two other options as we move forward with this space plan. And we think that it is in the city's best interest to continue to hold on to the Portland building, given the economics in this current environment.
Okay. Well, thank you for that thorough response. I stand corrected.
But I guess the one piece that we're going to have to find a way to finance that, and is one of the options that you are considering to finance the work on the building to put a premium on the rent and pass it through the bureaus?
That could be an option.
So, I mean, again, I don't want to rain on what I think is a tremendous accomplishment today, but it would be ironic if we ended up putting a premium on the rent, which then undercut the gain that we were proposing here, which was reducing the spread between what we pay. And frankly, that could become an issue depending on what the market conditions are in a few years, because we've got some of these bureaus are in space that's pretty cheap, and a landlord might be willing to cut a pretty good deal to keep them. And we're talking about potentially filling space, but then paying a premium to cover the cost. I know we don't have to resolve that today, Mayor, and I think what they've done today is terrific work. But I do think this is going to need a pretty rigorous outside independent review for the council to get its arms around it, because it seems like it could fatally undercut the gains that we're trying to get out of this proposal.
I love that suggestion, and actually we've discussed that in terms of an outside independent review of what our options will be in terms of the buildings. But I think the basic fundamentals here are sound, which is we're around for the long run. It makes more sense to be in space we own rather than space we lease. We should take care of the buildings that we own and put them into good condition for the long run and to be good workplaces for our employees. And the macroeconomics of paying ourselves through rates are better than paying someone else and having the money go out the door and not have the internal multiplier effect of being in our own funds. So all those fundamentals are behind this plan. But you're right, the second stage choices are going to be pretty important and will require the council to spend some more quality time with these two gentlemen as well as some outside experts to make those choices.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments for the team? Thank you both.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there others that are signed up to testify on this item?
No one else signed up.
Okay. So this is a resolution. Motion to approve the resolution. Did you call the roll, please?
You don't need it.
Fish?
So I want to thank the team from OMF for a superb piece of work. And I hope that none of this exchange diminishes in any way the significance of what you've accomplished today. And this has been a dialogue with the council that's coming now to fruition over the last couple of years about how do we maximize our existing space and over the long term reduce costs. I'm delighted and thankful that this mayor has finally called the question on the 1900 building, which has been a question that's been out there for some time. And with the retirement of the bond indebtedness, it becomes a relative bargain and a pretty good deal for the taxpayer. So I'm delighted that it's going to stay in our ownership. And I just want to, Brian, and to you and your team, thank you for the creative way you've approached this. We know how hard this is. I think this is the third presentation we've had in the last year about this. And you've come up with a very thoughtful approach. The goal is to consolidate all the space, all of our functions within city-owned space. And the long-term vision is to save some money. We got a few bumps. We have a few questions we're going to have to tackle along the way. But, and I think I share Commissioner Novick's concern about making sure that what we're going to be doing is designing space that's humane and allows employees to be productive and feel respected. And I don't know. I can't tell off of this square footage versus that. I understand changing technology. Bottom line is we want our employees to feel well-regarded, and they want them to feel comfortable in their workspace. And that can be a question of design as well as space. Right. But thank you for the effort that you put into this, and I think this is a very promising start. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you. This is a very, very thoughtful presentation and very nice PowerPoint, too. That's pretty impressive. But no, very well thought out, and it seems to make a lot of sense. And look forward to, you know, moving our leased, getting out of our private lease space and into our own space. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much for the work and for the clarity of the explanation. Aye.
Fritz.
I have been very impressed with this project since it was, it's been going for quite some time, and the presentations both last year and this year have been outstanding. I appreciate your briefings to me and my staff ahead of time and ongoing, and your evaluation. And this is what we should be doing, is looking at the most cost-effective way to provide the services and the spaces that both our employees and our citizens need. So I very much appreciate the work. Aye.
Hales.
Excellent work. Thank you both. Aye. Okay. We have the regular agenda ahead, but we did have one item pulled from consent, and actually I have a request from a bureau to simply send that back to my office. So
461?
Yes.
Amend contract with Portland Audubon Society for additional work and compensation for the bird surveys at Oaks Bottom and Mount Tabor Habitat Enhancement Project sites for $20,290.
So if there's no objection, I'll return that to my office.
Sure.
And now we'll take the regular agenda.
Item 471, amend tree regulations to change the effective date from July 1, 2013 to January 1, 2015.
Thank you. The Bureau of Development Services and Parks have joint responsibility for implementing the new tree code, and given the challenges of the budget cycle, we're not able to implement it fully at this time, but they've been making progress, and that's why our team is here. So thanks for your patience with our calendar this morning.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, my name is Mike Abate. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director, and I'm joined today by Paul Scarlett, Bureau of Development Services Director, and Mika Keenan, Program Coordinator for the Tree Code. We're here today to ask for a delay of the implementation of the citywide tree project, which includes new Title 11 trees and associated zoning code amendments and package of customer service improvements. City Council adopted this project in April 2011 to provide clear and consistent regulatory framework related to trees, to also enhance the city's urban forest canopy, and most importantly, to improve customer service to our citizens. Since adoption, BDS and Portland Parks have been working closely to make sure implementation is seamless, consistent, and meeting the goals of the project, and we've made substantial progress. This code that was adopted in 2011 comes with a significant cost. Several new staff are required to effectively implement the code. And given the significant budget cuts the city is facing for this fiscal year, 13-14 for BDS and for Parks, both of whom are facing some budget reductions, it's not possible to add these new regulations and requirements to our existing portfolios without adding staff. The bureaus are committed to launching the citywide tree project. This is something that has had a tremendous amount of public support and advocacy from a number of advisory committees, including the Urban Forestry Commission, who you'll hear from later. And so we are committed to launching it, but we need the additional staff and resources to make that happen. And so that's the main reason for coming to you and asking for a delay.
And how many staff and resources, how many staff do you need?
It is, I think it's 7.5
7.5
FTEs.
Yep. You're going to specify what those are coming up?
I can. And Mika will have a breakdown of the different positions. So with that, Paul.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. I guess it's morning still. Paul Scarlett, Director for Bureau of Development Services. Along with Parks, we administer tree regulations, certainly the zoning code for BDS, and coordinate closely with the city forester and tree staff in Parks. It is unfortunate that the funding is not available at this time to fully implement the tree project and program as was proposed a couple of years ago. A lot of work went into this project, and we fully support the goals and objectives of this project. We will continue to work closely on monitoring and managing all different regulations and coordination for outreach information and so forth. We're also involved currently on updating our permitting database to reflect tree requirements and permits that goes into the system. And Mika, I've got to say, has done a tremendous job, and we're very happy and excited that her position has been proposed for continuation at halftime, and so she will be able to continue working on the tree project as is proposed currently. So pretty excited about that. So
are
thank
you currently full-time or part-time?
I'm currently full-time through August.
And then continue at halftime as proposed in the budget. We again support this project, and we're committed to having certainly MECA work on it. And I do know that we continue to do tree work regulations through whether it's projects that are being built and tree preservations and the tree regulations. So I want council to know that that's still an ongoing effort, and we do as good a job as we can issuing permits through parks and, of course, dealing with regulations around subdivisions and so forth. So we are maintaining and promoting the tree canopy work assets, part of the City of Portland, and the intricate details that comes with development and the plan review process. But I'll turn over to Mika to go into some more detailed information on some of the plans for the future. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Mika Keenan. I'm the program coordinator for Tree Code Implementation. As Mike mentioned, I work for both the Bureau of Development Services and Portland Parks and Recreation Urban Forestry Division. I was hired back in August of 2011 to help the bureaus get ready to implement these new regulations. This is a unique project in that two bureaus are responsible for administering the same title. So with that uniqueness also comes a unique set of challenges as well as opportunities. The bureaus have been coordinating very closely to make sure that all of our processes are coordinated, seamless, and ultimately the design of this project will improve customer service and the administration of our tree regulations. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about why the bureaus are requesting a year and a half delay as opposed to a one-year delay. I'm going to talk about some of the accomplishments that the bureaus have made over the past 2 years, what we're currently working on, and as well as what the next steps are for implementation. So why are we requesting a year and a half delay? So the budget cycle runs from July to July, and the bureaus have been told that there's not enough general fund support at this point to hire the new staff that's necessary to implement this. So we do intend to request full implementation for the next budget cycle, July 2014. So once that funding is approved and the money is in the bank, so to speak, on July 1st, the bureaus will still need to go through the recruiting, hiring, and training process for the new staff. So the recruiting and hiring process can take 3 to 4 months to actually get the people in the building, which leaves approximately 2 months to train everybody to be ready on January 1st. This is also holiday season, so there'll be a lot of vacation schedules we need to work on. So although that sounds like a long time frame, it's actually a little bit tight. So that's why we need the year and a half. If we were going to start this code next July 1st, 2014, we would need that funding to be available this winter. So some of the accomplishments, since I do work with both bureaus, I am lucky enough to work with people from both Urban Forestry and Development Services. We do have a dedicated set and team of people who have been working very hard to get these regulations implemented. We're very focused on it, and we have gotten a lot done. For example, we drafted a set of housekeeping amendments to the tree code, which City Council adopted in September. These housekeeping amendments improve the code by clarifying policy and also eliminating some existing loopholes. We started an online street tree pruning permit program so people can begin to get their pruning permits online. So these are self-issued from the convenience of their home or office. So this has been really helpful for customers needing street tree pruning permits. We started the after-hours tree hotline with the help of Commissioner Saltzman. We set the TRAX contract, and TRAX is the permitting system for BDS. We have started programming TRAX for the new AB permit types. I would say that we're 70% complete on the TRAX programming, and that will be completed by the end of this year in January. We have a solid working draft of the tree website that is still under development, but it is up. And that website is based on the tree regulations under the new code, and it's not based on the existing regulations. So that website will be launched as we get closer to implementation of the new regulations. So currently, we are working to achieve some of the objectives of the citywide tree project, especially in terms of customer service.
The bureaus have appointed a single point of contact internally to improve communication between the two bureaus, and instead of bouncing applicants back and forth, the bureaus would do the behind-the-scenes work and get back to the applicant. We have partial co-location of some of the urban forestry inspectors down at the 1900 building to answer tree-related questions. We've been improving our intake procedures for tree permits. We will be hosting a training this summer by Urban Forestry and BDS that's geared towards the development community and the construction community to remind people of what the existing tree regulations currently are and how to get your tree permits. This summer, people will also be able to get online and see where their tree permit is in the process. And maybe more importantly, they can look and see if their neighbor actually did get a tree permit for a tree that's being removed on their property. Land use decisions will also be available online, and this will eliminate the need for people to come down to the 1900 building to get their land use decisions. They'll be able to do that from home as well. So as you can see, we've been very busy. There's still a lot of work to be done. We still have to complete the TREX programming. We need to continue working with ITAP to make sure that our processes are integrated seamlessly into the new permitting system. We need to complete and test the new tree website, and we plan on working extensively with our stakeholders on testing that website to make sure it's delivering all of the promises that came along with this tree project. As I mentioned, we need to hire and train new staff. We also need to train existing staff across the bureaus. And last but certainly not least, we need to conduct our education and outreach piece of implementation to make sure that all of the community members are aware of the regulations and also what the responsibilities are under the new regulations. I did give you a handout that summarizes some of our accomplishments and next steps for this project. Which is also, there's extra copies if anybody in the audience would like one. This concludes our presentation. If anyone has any questions.
Could you give me a breakdown of the 7.5 positions, please?
Yes. Commissioner, so 7.5 includes two tree technicians, 3.5 inspectors for both urban forestry and BDS. So these are folks that will actually go out into the field. And two planners, one for plan review, so plans that come in, checking them for trees, and one for code compliance based on complaints that may have that come to the city.
Thank you.
I'd like to be recognized to
sure.
purpose of offering an amendment. I want to thank everyone for being straightforward about the budget and the staffing challenges that we face at the city and as we continue to implement the new tree code. But this will be the second time that the council has asked to delay the implementation of this code. And needless to say, that does not inspire a lot of confidence in many in the community out there who have worked long and hard to bring a cohesive set of regulations that will not only benefit our citizens, but also benefit our canopy and our trees. So I want to make perfectly clear that this will be the last time I will vote to delay implementation of the code in Title 11. And so, and I continue to support fully its strong adoption and implementation. So we either appropriately fund and build the capacity to make this happen in FY14-15, or we hang it up and just continue to have the disjointed, fragmented, complex regulations that we currently have, which really don't benefit anybody. To that end, I'm proposing an amendment that the implementing agencies, Parks, BDS, the City Budget Office, and BES, bring a formal report to Council this December on how the program will be staffed and funded for the coming budget process. In this way, I think we can clearly signal to the public that we plan to follow through and make sure this time, with all the lead time that we have, a year and a half delay, that we are doing in December. We are seeing in December a report on the budget and staffing needs, and we're prepared to incorporate that into the 14-15 budget. So my amendment simply says Portland Parks and Recreation, the Bureau of Environmental Services, the City Budget Office, the Bureau of Development Services shall report to Council no later than December 18th, 2013 on a budget and staffing implementation plan for the tree code ordinances. So I would move that amendment.
Fish?
Mayor, I'm going to second the amendment, if I could be recognized. I'm strongly supporting Commissioner Saltzman's amendment, and in preparation for this discussion, Hannah Kuhn in my office pulled a story that was written in February of 2011 about the tremendous work that went into the tree code regulations. And there's a sentence here that you don't often see in the newspaper, which I'd like to read. "And so far, newly proposed standards seem to be okay with just about everyone involved, from home builders to environmentalists and residents." And that really is an extraordinary statement and a credit to the people who are before us who have been driving this process. As Dan said, this is the second time Council's been asked to delay implementation of the tree code we adopted in April of 2011, and I am also reluctant to go forward without a firm date for moving forward. Now, it's true that last year and this year the city has faced significant budget constraints and that some projects had to be delayed due to lack of funding, and it's also true that we are incredibly appreciative and supportive of Mika Keenan's work and progress to date, and the staff at Bureau of Development Services, Parks and Environmental Services, all the great work that's gone on to this. So this is in no way a criticism of the superb staff work that has brought us to this point. But frankly, as Dan noted, there are lots of community advocates, including people like Bonnie McKnight, who are starting to ask, are we serious about getting this job done? And I, for one, would like to join with Dan in seeing us prioritize funding for this work to be clear that we're not just going to keep kicking it down the road. So I support Commissioner Saltzman's proposal that staff return to Council this December with a concrete plan for how we fund and staff implementation of the new. We're, in effect, asking you to challenge us to find the money to be able to do the work that you have set out to do. And I just want to note something because there's an important history here. It was the Council's stated intent that after the initial year of implementation, development-related tree work would be primarily supported with fee revenue, not general fund. And so I'd also like the implementing bureaus and the budget office to explore if there is any way to jumpstart any part of implementation in the fall of 2014 rather than January of 2015. I thank Dan for bringing this amendment, and I will support it enthusiastically.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to amend?
Yeah, I'd like to propose a different solution, which is that we implement it now. I have heard from both Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish impatience that we're not moving forward. We've delayed it several times already. This project started in 2005 when I was still a community organizer. And as Commissioner Fish just noted, the sooner we get it going, the sooner we start getting the fee revenues. So we're in the current latest version of the proposed budget, there's $1.1 million of general fund that's going to tree planting. It doesn't make sense to me to fund tree planting rather than reorganizing the tree code. It doesn't make sense to me that we would allocate over $200,000 and 2.5 FTE for a new regulatory improvement code project when we haven't finished this regulatory improvement code project. And it's greatly distressing to me to hear that Mika's position is being cut from a full FTE to 0.5. I've heard a huge amount of support for what she's been doing in the community. Not only Bonnie McKnight and Ellie Charisse in East Portland, but neighbors in Mount Tabor and in Southwest Portland are very concerned about not moving forward with this project. We have the general fund resources. Just in yesterday's proposal, there was another $500,000 added to parks from general fund. So I don't support any further delay, and I don't support this ordinance.
Any other comments? Motion on the roll call on the motion to adopt the amendment and put that before the Council.
Fish?
Yes, I enthusiastically support the amendment, and while I appreciate the concerns raised by Commissioner Fritz, who has in fact been a champion for this, I do believe that we need to take a little time to come up with the funding and the staffing. And I would be deeply reluctant, in spite of some of the proponents of the idea of taking recap money, because there's all kinds of zoning code amendment work that's going on right now that is terribly important. And I would also be very reluctant today to start making budget changes on the fly to fund this, including changes of funding that's allocated to work that Friends of Trees and other groups are doing outside of our budget framework. I'm comfortable with the timeline that has been set forth in this amendment. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I don't support the timeline, and we're not voting on this till next week when we'll have had further input on the budget, so we'll be make, we can make budget changes and decide on this at the same time. No.
Hales.
I appreciate the amendment, and I'll support it, and I appreciate the good work that's been done, but obviously this is not the year in which we get to add new positions. We are very carefully trying to calibrate how to lose less of them. So this is an appropriate pause for now. Aye. Okay. Thank you. Good presentation. I'm sure we have public testimony now on the original and the amended ordinance.
We have six people signed up. Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Bob Solinger, Margaret Barrett, and Justin Woe. Good
morning.
Justin, I think the last name is W-O or L-O.
Wood, I think.
Wood.
Yeah,
Justin Wood.
Go ahead, Bob.
He was here earlier.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of City Council. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Tree Code. And my name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. Really appreciate the comments we've already heard here this morning and the sense of urgency around implementing the Tree Code, regardless of which way you wind up going in terms of the amendment. It's good to hear that urgency and the recognition that we do need to move forward. We have a $5 billion asset, and as was noted, there was universal agreement that the system is not working the way it should. It's not protecting that asset. It's not good in terms of the process for people trying to get permits to do things. It doesn't protect our resources. And it was a unanimously agreed upon plan, which is an incredible thing in this city. I was looking back through the documentation. I want to run you through a few statistics that the city was bragging about a couple of years ago in 2011. There were 16 people on the committee. They spent more than 1,000 hours in the stakeholder group. That's the number the city put forward. 250 meetings with the community, two sets of open houses, a five-month joint planning process between the Forestry Commission and the Planning Commission, and ongoing collaboration between six city agencies. That is an incredible amount of resources that went into a plan that's now potentially going to be delayed almost 4 years in terms of implementation. So we would urge you to move forward as expeditiously as possible. First of all, we don't see why the plan needs to be implemented in January of 2015. We think it could be implemented in July. All the pre-work that's been going on, we don't see any reason why we can't start at least at the beginning of the budget cycle. Secondly, we strongly support the idea of implementing things sooner if they can come online sooner. We appreciate the work that's been done, but there seems to us to be other things that could be moved forward on in the interim period. And finally, we really want to focus in on the fact that BDS is getting 14 new positions. This is a plan that will be funded in large part through fees rather than through the general fund. So we would urge folks to move forward and use those positions to start to get things going now as much as possible, get those fees coming in. This is going to be a mostly self-funded program. It was already cut back substantially during the adoption process to make sure it would be sustainable. So to the degree we can get going sooner rather than later, I think it would be a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning. Afternoon.
Afternoon. Greetings, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm basically going to be echoing a lot of.
What's your name?
I'm Margo Barnett, and I'm a resident of Southwest Portland. And I appreciate the amendment and the discussion this morning. And I echo most of Bob's comments. I do want to remind you, as Commissioner Fritz has already reminded you, that this is a process that started back in 2005 with a group of citizens who initiated activity, produced a white paper detailing deficiencies within the existing tree protection and preservation program and a lot of the complexity and problems for people who were really trying to comply with what existed. And that group worked with a group of citizens across the whole city to really galvanize the city to move forward with this tree code process. And as Bob has already said, citizens and staff have put in thousands of hours, and we've really committed lots of resources to this, and to go through an additional delay really is not holding faith with what has gone on in terms of the dedication of resources to this project. And it does bring into the question, well, are we really going to do this or not? And I do agree with Bob that I think there are many areas that could be implemented starting in July of 2014 rather than delaying until January. And it's extremely important that the mechanisms for protecting trees during development, the increased changes within this tree code, be implemented as the economy starts to improve so that we really have synchronicity there rather than having a delay and having the code implementation lagging behind the increase in permits for development. So I think that's really a critical piece and something that we would like to see happening. And I feel that the delay to January is not going to let that happen. We really appreciate the amount of work that staff has put in the progress that's been made, but it's insufficient really in terms of the long-term commitments that have been made and the amount of time that's put into this project. So we urge you really to implement effective in July of 2014.
Thank you. Thanks.
Last two are Linda Robinson and Merrill Reddish.
Mayor, I think Justin Wood was called before and obviously had to leave. He was with the Home Builders Association. Right. The Home Builders came in at the tree hearings and supported the project, so I'll be looking for Justin's written comments to see where they're at now.
Good. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Linda Robinson, a resident of East Portland. I was one of those people who've been working on this issue since 2005, spent many hours at meetings and on the task force, et cetera. I appreciate all of your comments so far. I'm disappointed that you're proposing that it be delayed until 2015. I appreciate the amendment and the statements that you wouldn't delay it even more, but I still would like to see it implemented no later than next July of 2014. Personally, I would like to see with other adjustments that have been made to the budget in recent days, at least increase MECA's position to full-time and continue doing, maybe just step up that advanced work a little bit more, begin doing the public education and some of those things that have to happen before it's implemented, so that if at all possible, it could be implemented 6 months earlier than you're proposing. The current code is a real problem. That's why we propose this. There are things that aren't covered at all. There are things that are contradictory. It's scattered all over through the code. It's hard for the staff, let alone the public, to figure out what the regulations are, even if they want to comply with it. So I'm just personally urging you to do it a little sooner if you can. That's my main point.
Great. Thanks, Linda.
Good morning. My name is Merrill Reddish. I'm here on behalf of the Urban Forestry Commission. I serve as chair, but I would like to yield my time to my fellow colleague who also serves on the commission, Catherine Muschel.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor and commissioners. The Forestry Commission understands that the delay is necessary for purposes of staffing and organizing how the code will be implemented. But we have some comments as to what we would like to see happen. The commission asks that the code be funded in its entirety, thus respecting the way in which it integrates the functions of different bureaus as they deal with the trees. The commission asks that the council truly commit to this revised schedule with January 2015 as the firm deadline. First, to show its respect for the countless hours put in by the public and city staff to create a code that would work efficiently and clearly for the public and all city bureaus. Second, to keep up with change, especially increasing population density and the desire for green amenities that compete with trees, so that we can maintain the trees that give our city life, health, and beauty. Because the new tree code protects large trees, because it provides a mechanism for mitigation plantings when and where trees cannot be preserved, because it provides for education so that the public can more easily know the right thing and do the right thing, and because it provides for better service to the public by streamlining communication about and the process for obtaining permits for tree removals, plantings, and prunings. in advance of the January 2015 tree code implementation, the commission asked that the council continue to fund vigorously the tracks updates that Miki mentioned earlier, the website development that she also mentioned, and the protocols for land use review now underway in BDS and within the Urban Forestry Division itself. Finally, we're here today advocating for the Title 11, but we will let you know if we feel you're going to rescind this deadline, and we'll be back.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. Anyone else wants to testify on this item?
Mayor, while we're getting ready to kick this to a second reading, can I just acknowledge that our esteemed urban forester, Jen Cairo, is here? Jen, could you raise your hand so we can acknowledge you? It's your great work.
So we have the amended version then coming back on second reading, right? Got that correct? Next week. Thank you all. Now, I want to just take a moment for process control here. I've got an important meeting at 12:30, and I want to give the council a little bit of a break. My suggestion is we take up the second reading items we have here before us and probably delay the rest of the regular agenda to this afternoon, if that would work well for everyone. Okay, so let's take up the second reading items, please, starting with 472.
Revised sewer and stormwater rates, charges, and fees in accordance with the fiscal year 2013-2014 sewer user rate study.
Second reading and roll call, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
My understanding is that we're voting on the rate and not on the uses of it. And an item which has recently come to my attention is that is what we had a discussion about last year, which was about rates charged to residents of the drainage districts by the levees near the airport. And we do need to look into, we promised last year that we would look into how we were going to apportion the rates that those residents pay between the stormwater fees of the city and the recertification of the levee. So I just want to put down a note that that's still outstanding, but it doesn't change the rate, and so it's something that we need to address. It is in the city's interest to ensure that the levees are structurally safe. I am very concerned about these the rates, and not only the rates, but the direction of the Bureau of Environmental Services. Once again, the advice of the Bureau of Environmental Services Budget Advisory Committee is being ignored. The Greater Green Program has been highly successful and is a model for cities around the world. We should be expanding it, not cutting it 11%. Greater Green is a program which is part of the culture of the city, and it's an appropriate funding with rates. The BES mission states, the Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland's Clean River Agency, serves the Portland community by protecting public health, water quality, and the environment. Environmental Services provides sewage and stormwater collection and treatment services to accommodate Portland's current and future needs. Environmental Services protects the quality of surface and groundwaters and conducts activities that plan and promote healthy ecosystems in our watersheds. I appreciate the mayor's recent announcement to try to make the budget right by adding more general fund resources into the tree program. However, this is a watershed-related program. The watershed programs within BES are well within the mission of BES and are appropriately funded with stormwater rates. The Office of Healthy Working Rivers is being defunded, along with four very talented staff. The purpose of this office was to act as a bridge between the bureaus and the communities and to help coordinate projects on the river. They have been phenomenally successful at that. When we did the River Recreation Plan, which was a partnership between BES and Parks, we had industrial users and all kinds of water users coming in support of the plan. The Office of Healthy Working Rivers is about inter-bureau communication. And the fact that it hasn't been given any general fund money in the past is particularly galling considering the proposed infusion of general fund money for things which are appropriately rate-funded, i.e. tree planting and invasive species removal, and not funding the function of the Healthy Working Rivers, the working part, which was the economic development, which lacked funding because of the constraints of the last 4 years. I cannot vote for a rate that does not include funding for the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. I think it's a significant mistake to defund that office. It helps get around the silo form of government that we so often hear about. And without an office like down that, like this, we're headed down that path again. I remember when Dean Marriott talked to me when it was I was newly starting my ventures into city politics by attempting to save a forest near my home 20 years ago. And I was at a garden party that Dean, as the new director of the Bureau of Environmental Services, attended in the home of the late, great Patty Lee. And he said that the ship of state is, if you think of the QE2, it's hard to turn a ship on a dime. And I think we've done a tremendous job, and Dean has done a tremendous job over the last 20 years of changing the course of the ship of state of the Bureau of Environmental Services. What I see in this proposed budget and the rate associated with it is that we haven't gone full speed ahead. Once we've made that turn, we seem to be continuing the circle and turning back into the port of the commonly accepted knowledge that environmental services is about engineering and sewage, and it's about the gray infrastructure. It's not about the green infrastructure. The rates have been reduced through use of general fund dollars, and it's not appropriate, considering those other needs like the tree project that we could be funding with general fund dollars if we were not maintaining the rate support for these programs. We're cutting 11% from the green programs in BES. And when we have a $20 million hole in the general fund, including things that we cannot fund appropriately with rates, such as support for children who are enslaved in prostitution, or the business support, or as I mentioned, the economic development support, it's, to me, not responsible to set rates that, in order to even continue part of the programs that we've become renowned for, the green programs in BES, require a massive infusion of general fund dollars. I can't support that. No.
Hales.
I'm very pleased to have this rate ordinance before us today, and I want to thank everyone for the hard work that's gone in to answering difficult questions and making difficult choices. We have a number of objectives as a council that we have to take into account when we adopt this rate ordinance. One is the continuous and responsible operation of the sewer system and the continuous progress that we've made as a community in using non-traditional solutions to stormwater, which I very much support. We also have a very compelling responsibility to ratepayers to try in every turn to make choices that avoid massive rate increases, and we've done that. And I really appreciate, Dean, you and your staff, the budget office, and everyone else who worked hard on this. Our ratepayers are very sensitive to the cost of our utilities, and we have a responsibility to make sure that we hear that concern and respond to it in what we are doing. And I think this rate proposal and the budget that it accompanies in both this Bureau and the Water Bureau strike an effective balance for all those legitimate community interests. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Next one, please.
473, amend the Fire and Police Disability Retirement and Death Benefit Plan so that the plan will retain its tax-qualified status.
Second reading, roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 474, I think, is next. Yeah.
Revise residential solid waste and recycling collection rates effective July 1, 2013.
Roll call.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I'm pleased that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability agreed over the next year to look into my pet peeve of once a week pickup of a pound of chicken bones. Having said that, I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for decreasing the rates and amending the rates to make them even more reasonable. And if I could have one request, and that would be that you would post on your website in a prominent place the changes to the rates. I couldn't find that in order to send to citizens, and I want to be able to publicize the new approach as well as the changes so that people can see that, yes, actually their monthly payments will be going down. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to reiterate what Director Anderson said here in the presentation, and that is, first, to say thanks to you and your staff for good work on this rate proposal, but, as you did, to thank Portland citizens, because let's be clear about what's happening here. We are decreasing rates for solid waste, because Portlanders are recycling more than most other places and composting more than other places and more than last year. And that avoids sending massive amounts of solid waste to the landfill and saves everybody money. So commendations to all of our fellow citizens for doing the right thing and spending less money as a result. Aye.
Please, can I go to the end, Mayor, to 480?
Yes, please.
480 authorizes the rates and charges for water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 to June 30, 2014, and fix an effective date.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Before I vote, I would like to express my disappointment with the Oregon Health Authority for denying a request for an extension on the federal compliance with the federal reservoir covering regulations. I do think that there are much more pressing public health problems than uncovered reservoirs that haven't caused any public health problems in 100 years. And that obviously is a rate-related issue. On a happier note, I would like to say that a few weeks ago, the Citizens Utility Board, which has a long history of being an effective and competent and respected watchdog of electricity and natural gas rates, came into my office and said that they get more calls about Portland water and sewer rates than they do about the things that they're actually involved in. And they're interested in talking to the city about pulling the water and sewer issues into their portfolio. And they have a proposal for how to do that without costing the city any money. And with the greatest respect for BES and for the Water Bureau, I do think that the city would benefit from an extra pair of professional eyes on the rates and the spending. And this is an issue I know that Commissioner Saltzman has looked at before. So I hope that over the next year, we'll have a conversation with the Citizens Utility Board over whether they can be part of our rate-watching family. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, I disagree with Commissioner Novick on that proposal because this budget shows how having a different commissioner in charge can greatly affect the rates. The proposed projected increase last year was 14%, and what we're voting on today is 3.6%. And I am in the happy position for the first time since 2009 to vote in support of the Water Bureau budget. I appreciate the efficiencies that have been made, the openness and the responsiveness, as always, from the Water Bureau staff to my questions, and both Commissioner Novick and Mayor Hales' leadership. I'm assured that this 3.6% increase isn't a deferred rate increase, and that we won't be biting it in the years to come because of this number. I think it's a responsible rate increase in particular, since it does look like we're going to have to comply with the unreasonable federal long-term two rules. And so I'm pleased to support this proposed rate. Aye.
Hales.
Thank you. Well, we did put a great deal of pressure on Director Schaff and his team through the budget process to try to take that rate from 14% down to something much more palatable. And point well made, Commissioner Fritz, and point taken, that this is a real rate for the real costs of the Bureau. It does not involve deferring rate increases to future years, as has unfortunately happened in the past. So we have carefully looked at costs and carefully looked at investments and made, I think, good choices with solid work by our professionals. I'm very pleased to vote aye. And we will recess until 2 p.m. Thank you all.
Got a lot on the table today.
I wonder who put all those things on
today. Yeah, whose fault? Who did this? Who's the perp?
Find him. Well, I won't be there. Oh, yeah.